I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Over the weekend, the nation's capital saw its biggest protest yet against police brutality. Tens of thousands of people marched in D.C. to demand justice for George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Tony McDade, and many other black people who've been killed by police in the United States. But these largely peaceful protests aren't just happening in D.C. and other major metro cities like New York, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. Protests are also happening in mid-sized cities like Portland, Maine, and Wilmington, North Carolina, and even in really small towns like Millerton, New York, where a lone protester stood with a Black Lives Matter sign.
No justice!
No justice!
No peace!
And our next guest says we should take note, especially because of what this could tell us about the future of organized protest. Anne Helen Peterson is a culture writer for BuzzFeed News who's been tracking protests in small cities and towns around the country. And she joins us now from her home in Missoula, Montana. Anne, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's start with Montana. How have protests been playing out there, Anne? Are they expanding to bigger cities like Billings?
Oh, yeah. There was a massive protest in Billings. I mean, it's our big city. It's over 100,000 people. But it's, you know, the protests have also been all over in Missoula, which is pretty expected because we're a college town, but also in Butte, in Hamilton, in Havre, which is a small ag town, in Lewistown, Montana. Like, they really are all over.
We mentioned at the top of the show we were used to seeing protests in large cities like New York and D.C., but what are some of the surprising places that we're seeing smaller protests playing out in smaller towns, Anne?
You know, I think if you think of your state and you think of the one place in that state where you'd never think there would be a protest, there is a very good chance that there has been a protest there. So that includes places that are known for their racism all over the South. That includes pretty white bread conservative suburbs. And that includes like tiny little ag towns like Pinedale, Wyoming.
I want to talk about who is at these protests, because there's a couple things playing out here. We see one of the things that's emerged this time around is that we're seeing much more, at least in New York and other places, we're seeing a lot of diversity among the protesters themselves. They are not just black protesters, but we see white protesters, protesters of color, gender diversity among them. And I'm wondering if that's what's also playing out in towns where black populations are smaller than they are in New York. Are we seeing majority white protests, for example?
Yeah, in a lot of these places, there are maybe only a handful of black people that live there. And I think one thing that a lot of the organizers in these places have done very well is center those voices whenever possible. And that includes, you know, Native people, if that's the representation of people of color who are in the area, because Native people absolutely experience police profiling and racism, especially in these towns that are close to reservations. But yeah, there you look out and you'll see a lot of white faces. And, you know, there are many ways that you can try to explain this. One is when the Black Lives Matter movement first really started gaining traction in 2015, you know, most of America still didn't have much of a protest tradition. This was before Trump's election. And a number of things after Trump's election encouraged people to maybe protest for the first time. And now you're seeing more of that energy coalesce around Black Lives Matter this time.
And I would argue that most of America, I think that it also breaks down around generational lines. I think, you know, our boomer parents, for example, get criticized a lot, but their generation was largely protesting. And I think, you know, you mentioned Black Lives Matter, that there were a lot of actions around the country, largely driven by black protesters. I'm wondering, Anne, are we seeing an organized effort to create these protests, or are these sort of spontaneous grassroots actions that are happening?
I think it's a real mix. You know, I talked to someone in a small town who, you know, he and his handful of friends were like, let's just go downtown and we'll kneel and hold signs. And they didn't realize until afterwards that another group in their small town, this is like, you know, a town of 25,000 or something, was doing the exact same thing three blocks away. So sometimes it's like that. And then sometimes it's organized by high school students who have been at the front of a lot of these protests. And, you know, I've talked to some of them, and I think that one thing that we're seeing a lot of is that they saw through the March for Our Lives movement that this is something that they can do in their schools and that they can take the lead on and make possible.
A lot of the protests that we're seeing across the country, particularly in larger cities here in New York, we're now going on 2 weeks of sustained daily protests. Are many of the protests that we're seeing in smaller cities and mid-sized cities and rural towns, as you mentioned, are they one-day actions largely, or is there sort of a sustained momentum to them?
I think in some places they're one day, but then in other places like Sandpoint, Idaho, which is a town of under 20,000 people, they've been protesting for 4 days. And some of them are a little bit smaller, and then they grow bigger on the weekends. And you see this also in a place like Laramie, Wyoming. So I think it depends on the organizers. Here in Missoula, every single day you can drive downtown and see protesters. And then there are days where there's more organized action as well.
We often talk a lot about the era of surveillance that we're living in. And even though, this is an issue with protests that we've seen crop up in Hong Kong, for example, that protesters are surveilled and potentially tracked. And it's something that we're interested in talking about on the show. But more broadly, if you protest in a city like a large city, you can sort of get lost in the crowd, right? I'm wondering if in smaller protests that we're seeing, there are different risks. Are people, you know, if you're in a small town where, quote unquote, everybody knows your name, what effect does that have?
Yeah, this is something that I think is maybe difficult to understand if you've never lived in a small town. But if you have lived in a small town, you just absolutely get it. And that is that being very visible as part of a protest, especially if it's one that involves, you know, being on a street corner and holding signs, that will stick with you for the rest of your life in that town. You will always be a person who protested. And I think that's also why, you know, we get a mix of high school students who maybe haven't figured out exactly how that will stick with them for the rest of their lives, or older people who just don't care anymore, or other people of all ages who, again, think this is worth it. Like, I am deciding to stand up and say that Black Lives Matter, and I don't care how other people gossip about me.
I'm thinking about, we mentioned a lone protester at the top of the show. I'm thinking about another lone protester in Florida, an older white woman who was holding a sign that said Black Lives Matter. When we see those individuals, what is the importance there? I mean, what does that tell that community?
I think even just having one person stand up and say, this matters to me, that visibility is so important for other people in the community. You know, in some of these small towns, there's a belief that there's no one who maybe believes the same thing as you do, right? Whether that's progressive beliefs, social justice beliefs, that sort of thing. And people are just kind of quiet about it. But sometimes all it takes is that one person, like in Florida, the 80-year-old woman who's saying, like, you know what, screw this, this is important, and I'm going to stand up.
Let's talk a little bit about the response to protests on both sides of the spectrum here. We can talk a little bit about whether or not counter protests are popping up. Are you seeing that with these smaller protests?
Yeah, and it's complicated. I think in some places you do get on the fringe a little bit of the Blue Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, or just people with Trump flags just holding up the flag kind of to troll the protesters. And then you also get people who don't necessarily consider themselves counter-protesters, but who have internalized this rumor that has been fanned by President Trump that Antifa is coming to these protests to, you know, burglarize or loot downtown. And so they show up in a sort of show of force in order to protect the downtown. Most of the time, they do not think that the protesters themselves are going to loot. It's more that they think that there are these roving bands of Antifa that are coming.
What about the police? How have the police responded in these smaller communities? Again, sort of thinking back to in small towns, people are much more familiar with each other. They might even know some of the police. So are we seeing police responses to smaller protests?
Yeah, it's a mix. I think, you know, there's a town, I believe in Louisiana, where they instituted a curfew in part because those rumors of Antifa coming had become so powerful that they had made their way to the mayor's office, and that curfew was for 7 p.m. And so some of the high school students who were involved in this protest were like, you know what, I'm staying past 7 p.m. And five students were arrested. So you do have some pushback in that capacity. In other places, you have, police kneeling as well, or participating, or speaking at the march. I think a lot of it depends on the relationship of the organizer to the police, and in some ways the character of the protest. But then in some places, the woman who organized the protest in Havre, Montana, she is a Native woman, Chippewa Cree, and she said that she reached out to the police department to be part of this conversation and to be out on the streets with them, and they declined.
And what do you think this movement of smaller protests around the country that we're seeing in places that are not predominantly Black or Brown, what do you think this means for the larger culture of activism in the United States? We've got about a minute left in the segment.
Yeah, I think white people understand that in order for society to change and to be better, it needs to be better for everyone, and that white people and people with privilege need to use that privilege in order to do so. The other thing that's really important is that at these protests, like at the Women's March, like through previous progressive organizing, you are making connections that make future organizing possible, whether that's around Black Lives Matter or around other cases that are working towards justice. So I think all of this really, really matters.
Anne Helen Peterson is a culture writer for BuzzFeed News. Anne, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we'd love to know if your small city or town is protesting. Tell us what it's like. You can call us and leave a message at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.